We'd like to welcome you to our emergency freedom alerts for April 22nd, 2024. I'll go ahead and get us started with the updated group prayer list of current event prayer points. This is part one. I typically skip a week and then we do part two on the audio studies. Father God in heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for you to expose and destroy the Great Reset agenda worldwide designed to bring in the New World Order, and for your divine intervention regarding the conflict in Israel, the Middle East, and Ukraine. Please protect the Christians, the innocent, the righteous in these and surrounding areas, and may these conflicts be used to bring forth your truth and righteousness. We pray that every evil plan and scheme would be exposed and destroyed regarding these wars, and for God to expose and destroy the pandemic vaccine agenda worldwide with all of its big brother aspects like DNA defiling, graphene oxide-filled, parasite-ridden, nanotech-laden vaccinations from Pfizer, Moderna, Janssen, Johnson & Johnson, BioNTech, AstraZeneca, and others, and for the stoppage of all digital health passports, and for God's judgment and destruction on the vaccine and medical cartels perpetuating this evil, and for them to be exposed and destroyed, and for God to stop the May 24th, 2024 World Health Organization Pandemic Treaty, and for God to thwart any deep state false flag attacks in order to blame anti-vaxxers, Christians, and gun owners. We pray for the destruction of CERN and all the other 30,000 plus particle colliders worldwide, and the destruction of all D-Wave quantum computers, and for the eradication of every wicked portal or doorway these devices and all witchcraft taking place in the universe have opened, and that all dark matter that they have created be destroyed, and for any avatars these wicked devices have created for myself and my family, for ourselves and our families, be canceled and destroyed. We pray for the destruction of the wicked plans of this current evil American political administration and all evil political administrations worldwide, and for the fear of God to be upon both Democrats and Republicans. And if they will not repent of their wickedness, that God would hedge up their way with thorns and have them in total confusion and derision, and that they would turn on each other and devour one another, and against every level of government that has been hijacked by wickedness. And for the destruction of the Chinese CCP plans to overtake America, Mexico, Canada, and elsewhere, for the eradication of groups like Black Lives Matter and Antifa, for the diverting of any incoming asteroids or meteors that might hit Earth, for God's intervention regarding the Second Amendment, and the disarmament gun confiscation situation developing in the U.S. and elsewhere, for God's intervention regarding the coming food and water shortages and the honeybee die-off worldwide, for the stoppage of the U.N. troops already in America and elsewhere. Regarding the body of Christ, we pray for strength, endurance, courage, guidance, favor, divine providence, and foreknowledge, and the power to overcome all this wickedness that is increasing by the day, and for the defense and protection and victory of all Christians worldwide, especially the persecuted, and also all targeted individuals worldwide, and for God to reveal any unconfessed sin, iniquity, trespasses, and transgressions to his Christians that need to be repented of, and any other ungodly agreements we may have made with this world, for God's will to be done in all Christian churches, whether in buildings, online, or otherwise, that are in bondage to the spirit of witchcraft, and for God to expose and remove all the witches and ministers of Satan masquerading as angels of light in them, and to break the power of all witchcraft over these churches, in Jesus' name, and to loose the spirits of truth and discernment on the deceived Christians worldwide, and for them to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive the truth, and to deliver his Christians from the spirit of witchcraft and from following a false light. We pray, as you instructed in Luke 10:2, that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. And we also pray, according to Psalm 19:12 through 14, for the Lord to cleanse us from secret faults and keep us from presumptuous sins, that they would not have dominion over us. Let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And for all Christians to wake up and spread the gospel and push back against all their freedoms being taken away. And for the destruction of the 501c3 FEMA clergy response teams being activated in America to betray and destroy the Christians, that they would be exposed. We pray against the slaughter of Christians worldwide and the innocent. Slaughter of the innocent and Christians worldwide. We loose legions of angels regarding all these prayer points to accomplish your will, and we bind up every devil, demon, evil entity, or fallen angel that would try to hinder these petitions or angels, and command them to go where Jesus Christ tells them to go, and command that none can come to take their place. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. Amen. Okay, so we're going to be focusing today mostly on current events, some in the church, things going on in the world from a spiritual side, biblically warring against those things, spiritual warfare, that type of thing. That's anymore, there's so many breaking current events, it's getting harder and harder for me to do a study where I'm covering like this type of stuff we're covering today and cover all the current events, which are just, I mean, there's so much horrible negative news on the current event side. It's quite overwhelming. And I'm really honestly feel like I'm gravitating more toward the spiritual warfare aspect of things, as opposed to concentrating on every horrible current event that's going on. Not to say that we don't need to be aware of those things, lest Satan get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices, lest we be destroyed for lack of knowledge. On a lot of these things, that's why I'm covering them, to give my listeners a heads up, more on the current event side, from a practical standpoint, what to pray against. So I'm not saying I'm not going to cover those things, it's just I'm having to kind of pick and choose more. And to me, the spiritual side of what we're dealing with, when the Bible says we battle not against flesh and blood, but against the princes and the principalities and the rules of wickedness, that's where our true battle is. I would rather focus in on those things more so, which to me really makes the Bible come alive, rather than focus on every single negative current event out there that's going on, because there's so many. And if you immerse yourself in that, it can become quite disheartening and overwhelming to look at those things. But just realize that we're on the winning team, that in the timeline of things, we're in that last part leading up to, whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, whatever, Jesus is coming back at the end of the tribulation. Okay, and that's not a tribulation debate. That's, you know, just Matthew 24. He's definitely coming back there. And we're in those final satanic death throes of Satan, his fallen angels, his demons, his devils, the non-human entities that walk among us, the human entities that walk among us that serve him. We're in those final death throes leading up to that. And I do believe we actually have great power as Christians to battle that. And that's what I want to really try to emphasize, that. So the first thing, though, this happened this week, and this is just one of the many insane things going on in the so-called church. This is entitled, "What is Happening to the Church? A Pastor Was Kicked Off Stage at a Christian men's conference after criticizing a bare-chested, pole-dancing, sword-swallowing..." Basically, I mean, the guy comes off as very, I mean, he reminds me of somebody that would be performing at a gay nightclub. That's the vibe I got on with the video that I saw. That's what it reminded me of. And the video was at this Christian men's conference. Okay. Bare-chested, pole dancing, sword swallowing performer who was in the opening act at an event and alluding to it, and then this pastor alluded to it being similar to something one might see at a strip club. Absolutely. There was the stripper pole was there, the whole nine yards. Now, I'm not saying a woman being there is appropriate doing that as a stripper. But they brought a guy in to open a, quote, Christian men's conference. I can't even comprehend the state of what's going on across the board in churches across the land. And I understand you could say that, well, I don't know if this was at a church. It looked like it could have been at one of those big mega churches. The incident occurred during a stronger men's conference. Yeah, this is going to make you much stronger as a male Christian, which was held at the Great Southern Bank Arena. Okay, so that's where it was at. In Springfield, Missouri, on April 12th and 13th, the event's social media pages describe it as passionate about, quote, helping men to become all that God has created them to be. I guess the male stripper guy, bare-chested, sword-swallowing, dancing on a stripper pole, was all about those, inspiring those men in the audience to help them become all that God has created them to be. Who could possibly disagree with that? I'm just going to play this Instagram little thing here. You can watch it. You can actually see the stuff going on in the background.
Christian Men's Retreat. How's everybody doing? My name is Anthony Brian Logan, and today we got to talk about Pastor Mark Driscoll getting kicked off the stage.
Now, again, this is in no way am I endorsing anybody at the. I mean, the fact that any pastor was even at this thing would make me greatly, greatly question. I mean, what are you yoking yourself up with? I mean, the fact that we're even having this debate. Can you imagine Jesus walking into this? The ultimate standard? I'm pretty sure there was a monster truck there too. And only God knows whatever else they did there. I just don't have time to go down every heretical, apostate, Laodicean, Revelation chapter 3 rabbit hole that there is with the church. You cannot keep up with all the just unbelievable heresy and lascivious, horrible behavior that is going on at these things. It's just, it's incomprehensible.
At the Stronger Men's Conference in Springfield, Missouri, after he denounced the opening act, they had a sword swallower, no shirt on from what I'm able to see, performing as the opening act. Mm-hmm. Let's check it out.
I didn't know you had opening acts, you know, in the church. And yeah, you could see this guy. He's right in front of the very, very front of the crowd. And I guess he rips his jacket off. Why would they think that this is something Christian men would want to see? Even secular men, you know what I mean? Even unsaved guys. Why would they think that this is something that a normal male, and I'm not saying it would be right to do it with a female, okay? I'm just saying, where are we at in our thinking processes that, oh yeah, the guys will like this really, really flagrantly gay dude acting gay, coming out, ripping off his jacket, dancing on a stripper pole, very provocatively swallowing swords. Who was the one that thought that was a good idea, is what I would like to know. Or the group of elders that decided on that and said, you know, that's a great idea. That's what men want to see. I mean, I just try to wrap my head around this.
I've been up since 1 o'clock.
So this is this Mark Driscoll guy. I don't know much about him, but he says he's been up since 1 a.m. praying about this.
The reason I'm hoarse is I have been praying for you, and my heart is very burdened for you.
In the very bottom of this thing, you can see this guy doing all the stuff on the stripper pole. Now, I think he had already performed this, and then he came after and said this, and unbeknownst to the Christian pastors putting on this absolute abomination of an event, they weren't thinking he was going to do this and interrupt things, and they weren't very happy about it, as you'll see.
And I want to be very careful with this, and it's not what I want to say, but the Jezebel spirit has already been here.
And you can see, this is the guy right here, no shirt on. That just might.
I mean, wow. So they show a picture of this guy, and he's basically, I think this is, he's a male stripper, and he's at a place with male, and I don't know if he goes totally nude. It looks like he might, because the way that the picture's set up, they've got places where, I mean, I remember back in Atlanta when I was there, chiropractic college, there was a place they had. Some of my, couple of my, my friends in chiropractic college went worked there. Yeah. I hung around with some, you know, crazy dudes. They tried to get me to go. I'm like, I am not going. I am never going to be some male stripper. No. No, no, no. Even though I was unsaved, there ain't no way in a billion years that I'm going that route. Thank God I was way too shy for any of that garbage. But I was immersed in that. Both my roommates, I had two female roommates. Nothing, they were like my sisters, but they worked at a place called the Gold Club in Atlanta as cocktail waitresses. And that was fully nude, the best, most high-end strip club. My one roommate, her boyfriend, Gary, was a bouncer at one of those places. I had the pro wrestlers all lived in our building. They were in and out of our places. I treated, my patient was, one of my patients was a pro wrestler, Brian, Eric Watts. Not he never made it like gigantically huge, but he was my patient. And I, just that whole environment I was immersed in. We had strippers all over all the time. So I'm not acting like I'm Mr. Puritanical. And I'm like, oh, this is, is offending my sensibilities. I'm well aware of these things that exist, okay? This picture that I'm looking at of this devil, I mean, the fact that they would bring a guy like this into a, I mean, he's literally a male stripper. And probably of the ilk that go totally nude. Okay. I mean, because the picture, he could be totally nude. The fact that they would bring in a devil like that into a, quote, Christian's men's conference just shows you that probably most of these devils are all Luciferians at the top. They couldn't be that stupid. They know what they're doing. I've said this for years, that all the denominations are wicked and corrupt and evil at the top. And if you were Lucifer or Satan, that's what you would do. You would put your chief henchman in charge of everything within these denominations, which are unbiblical. Denominations are totally unbiblical. Read the book of Romans. One saith I am of Apollos, one saith I am of Paul, one saith I am of Jesus. Is Christ divided? No. Just one of the many things that's done in the Christian church that is unbiblical. They install Luciferians at the top of the food chain in these denominations. I pick any of them. Any of them. It's all, I would say, ubiquitous across the board. Maybe some worse than others. And if the head is sick, the whole body will be sick. And if the head is giving orders and giving the nod to certain things, even though a person within, or let's say a pastor within that, may want to do the right thing, maybe he's a great guy, he's going to be affected by that because of the headship of that. And Satan knows very well that this is the case, and this is why he does it. And it also divides the body of Christ. And, you know, then you have the whole 501c3 thing going on where you're yoking up with the government to get your right to exist as a, quote, church. Again, no Bible for any of that. All of these things corrupt the church. And then you got the FEMA clergy response teams that we just mentioned in the prayer. That's a whole other level of, you know, spying and yoking up with the government and selling your congregation out. So I walked away from it a long time ago. I tried. I really did. And I'm not saying that, you know, you do as the Lord leads you to do. I'm just telling you overall, in the main, this is what, why I got out of it. You know, and I'm talking Lutheran middle school, Catholic high school. These are the things, all the things I experienced, you know, Pentecostal to really, really hardcore charismatic, crazy stuff to then the opposite end of the spectrum, independent, fundamental, King James only, independent fundamentals Baptist, and then just regular Baptist. I've kind of run a lot of the game. I mean, I went to Presbyterian churches growing up with my grandma and grandpa, and I've been to Methodists. I've kind of been to a lot of different denominations, so I have a very, very broad thing to draw upon, and I believe God let that happen to me so I would have a better perspective with the ministry in regard to helping others, because, man, I've been there, seen a lot of stuff. And I've also been very, very far into the secular world. And let me tell you, this devil that I'm looking at here, we are talking straight from the pit of hellfire. This is a guy that goes to, I don't know if he does the gay too, but the male strip bars, and probably goes fully nude. Why on God's green earth would you bring a devil like this and open the Christian men's conference with this devil? Why? Because if you were a Luciferian, that's exactly what you would want to do. You would want to defile the whole thing right from the get-go. The whole kit and caboodle. Let's start it off on the right satanic hoof. That's what they did. This is where we've gotten to in the church, where, I mean, I can't even, this is so far out of my wheelhouse, just this whole, the whole concept of this, what it's going on. I mean, this is total insanity, what we're dealing with here.
Be a stock picture, but this footage right here, he's on a pole, he's dancing on a pole at the church conference. Now, what in the, a male stripper at a men's church conference, what are we trying to say? Are we trying to say that is the kind of entertainment that Christian men like? I don't really understand, but let's keep on going.
I want to be very careful with this, and it's not what I want to say, but the Jezebel spirit has already been here. The Jezebel spirit opened our event.
So this is this pastor Mark Driscoll guy.
This is a rebuke and a correction of no one. This is an observation.
How is this not a rebuke and a correction of no one? I think he's saying that so he doesn't get kicked off the stage too quick. But if anybody needs a rebuke and a correction, it's this whole venue. And particularly the devil, Luciferian Satanists that are posing as pastors that made this whole thing happen and thought this was a good idea. From a satanic standpoint, it's a great idea. Satan loves to push the envelope. I'd say this is pushing the old envelope. I mean, I've seen crazy stuff in charismatic churches. I've never seen anything that crazy. Not on that level. I've seen crazy stuff that maybe wouldn't be here in charismatic, but this is a whole other level of, you're bringing strippers in, male strippers, into a men's conference? Where is the biblical justification on any of this? There is no, I mean, I can give you tons of Bible on why you would never, ever do this. But there surely is no biblical justification. But this is what happens when you throw the Bible out the window and everything becomes fun and entertainment-based, seeker-friendly. We've got, you know, you don't, what you have at that point is not any kind of church. It's a joke, is all it is.
Before the Word of God was open, there was a platform. It was a high place. On it was a whole, a national. The same thing that's used in the strip club for women who have the Jezebel spirit to seduce.
Okay, so to seduce men. So he's saying that, I believe, in pagan ceremonies, they would have an Asherah pole on a high place with a pole. And again, you know, I researched it a little bit. An Asherah pole is a sacred Torah pole that stood near Canaanite religious locations to honor the god Asherah. That's why it's called an Asherah pole. Okay. So I think he makes a good point there. Okay. I do think he makes a really good point there. And he's basically comparing this Asherah pole that stood near Canaanite religious locations to honor the goddess Asherah to what is going on there. And I think there is a lot of occult significance. I really do. And again, this is why they're doing it. Because they're seeing from a satanic standpoint, what can we get away with? How dumbed down are the men at this conference? What will they put up with? How can we defile them even further than we've already defiled them?
Well, nowadays, you got to talk about the men who are seducing other men, because it's a lot of LGBT. It's a lot of LGBT in the church nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's just right, wrong, whatever. It's just an observation.
In front of that was a man who ripped his shirt off like a woman does in front of a pole at a strip club.
And that's what just happened there. A man ripped his shirt off in front of a pole, you know, with a whole bunch of people looking. This is what happens at strip clubs, whether it's male strip clubs or women's. Now, the men ones are a lot less common, obviously, way less common. I think there was like one in Atlanta at the time when I was there. And I said, like, a couple of my friends even worked there. Mm-mm. No. The other strip clubs, the female, were extremely prevalent in Atlanta, and I'm assuming it still is to this day.
That man then ascended. See, our God is not arrogant. He doesn't ascend. Our God is humble. He descends. And then he swallowed a sword.
So there's a guy in the background. And I'm not going to get in all of the, every bit of what he's saying here, but he says there's a guy, Pastor John Lindell in the background, says, "You're out of line, Mark." Out of line? He's making some attempt to bring some sanity to this event, to whoever this Pastor John Lindell is, I would almost guarantee you he is a Satanist. He is a closet Satanist. You're stepping on his satanic authority. And he don't like it.
And Jesus Christ, okay, Pastor John, I'll receive that. Thank you.
So he says, "I'll receive that," meaning, you know, this is your show, not mine. And the pastor said, this Pastor John Lindell says, "You're done." I mean, white hot hellfire, Pastor John Lindell. That's all I can really say. But then again, I got a feeling you know exactly what you're doing. You would be absolutely amazed to know how many Satanists and Luciferians are actually pastors, particularly the higher ups. All these people like Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn, they're all Luciferians. They're all Satanists. I mean, 20 years ago, over 20 years ago, when I came out of the Charismatic Church, I mean, this was in like about 25 years ago. I watched that 20 hours of footage on the Toronto Revival Unmasked. And it was 20 hours. So it's a big reason I came out of the Charismatic Church. 20 hours of footage of Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland. Yeah, they were around back then. Hagen, they called him Dad Hagen because he was like one of the main ones that started a lot of this. Every charismatic nutball out there. And they They would slow down their tongues. Sometimes they would reverse their tongues. Sometimes you would hear what they were saying off camera. And at the end of the 20 hours, you could come to no other conclusion that these people in high-level positions, in the TBNs and the televangelists and the ones that, the those kind of charlatans, were all Luciferians posing as, quote, Christian pastors. You think it's any better today? I doubt that. I seriously doubt that. If anything, it's most likely even worse as far as the infiltration goes, and that would be biblical. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that there's going to come a falling away. Translated from the Greek apostia or apostasy, there's going to be a falling away of the church, and then that wicked, capital W, the Antichrist, will be revealed. Well, we've had the falling away occurring for a long time. I mean, for a multitude of reasons. Well, the only thing left is for that wicked, capital W, to be revealed, and that could be very close. You didn't see any confirmation on this yet, but Hal Turner put out a thing that I know Hal Turner, I don't normally, whatever. He's the only one I've seen that says it, but he says they're going to sacrifice the red heifers tomorrow. Now, by the time you're hearing this, it'll probably be that day, and that's Monday. Why would they do it that? It's Passover. And I said at the start of the month that it was going to be sometime, if they were going to do it, most likely between then and the 22nd. I'm not date setting. I'm saying if they don't do it, every day that clicks by is one more day that one of those red heifers can grow out two white hairs or something. And that's going to make them unclean. They're not going to be, and that's what happens evidently after the third year. If they don't have any white hairs, now there's other things that disqualify them as well. I'm not a rabbinical whatever, but they have to have the ashes of the red heifer to consecrate all the proceedings that go into the dedication and the dedication, the purification of the priests regarding the third temple. They have to have that. So it's not like they've got forever to do that. The clock is ticking. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying, though, it might. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm not a date setter, so I don't know. And this is God's timeline, not mine.
You say, you're done. Like, shouting them out, you're done. Now, what in the world is this all about? Can somebody please break it down to me? Like, I'm 5 years old. Like, I'm just learning the English language. I'm just learning how to communicate for the very first time. Break that down to me. If you're a Christian and you're at a Christian men's conference specifically, okay, that's what this is. This ain't just some random thing. This is a Christian men's conference. Why would what he's saying be out of line?
And they're showing the background of this Christian men's conference. And, of course, you got to have all the guy stuff. They got this big Harley Davidson-like bike, some big picture of it in the background. I'm assuming it's like on their video display. Got to have the horsepower. You got to have the male strippers, sword-swallowing male strippers. That's that. Every man likes that. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they had a monster truck at some point. I saw something about a monster truck on stage. Yeah, you got to have all the guy stuff. I mean, it's just absolute total insanity. But hey, that's your standard stuff, I guess, that goes on today in the realm of Christianity. So there's a lot of booing, and I don't know if they're booing Mark Driscoll, if they're booing the fact that he got kicked off of stage. I hope they are, because at least he was trying to bring some type of semblance of whatever. I it's hard to discern.
Now, I want to hear what he's going to say. And you can hear from the crowd, they don't like what's going on. Maybe some do like what's going on. I'm just really confused about the whole situation. But let's see what this guy says.
So this is that devil pastor, John Lindell. And he says, if Mark wanted to say that, he should have said it to me first. You know, dude, the fact that he would even have to say something like that, the fact that you would sanction this shows what an unmitigated Luciferian devil you are. I mean, white hot hellfire, dude. White hot hellfire. Unless you repent and get saved, because there ain't no way you're saved. Because if the Holy Spirit lived inside this guy, okay, it's never, ever, ever, ever going to get anywhere near to that sear with a conscience. I mean, to having your conscience that seared with a hot iron. It doesn't work that way. The Holy Spirit's going to convict you about sin. And he sure is not going to give you the thumbs up and, quote, peace about bringing a male stripper on stage and opening your conference with that. Can you imagine having that level of discernment where you thought that was cool to do? Now, if you're a Luciferian, which I believe he is 100%, or 99.99%, I should say, then yeah, that's what you want to do, because that's how you take it to the next level for Satan.
If you guys didn't hear it, the man who got on stage said, if Mark wanted to say that, you should have said it to me first. Why? So you can control what I say?
He would have never said a word then. We would have never even heard that, and it would have just went on and into the next vaudeville, satanic, erotic, whatever act they're going to bring on next.
To go out there and say, well, you shouldn't really say this, say it that way. Nah, speak from your heart. Speak from your spirit. Be honest.
Oh, now we're going to get a morality lesson from Satan. My favorite. Literally my favorite. Now you're going to give me Bible verses on evidently why you're in the right, you fork-tongued devil from the pit of hell. You know what would be really awesome is if fire came down and consumed this devil in front of all those men. Do you know how many of them would actually get saved at that point? Like Ananias and Sapphira? The fruit that produced in the Bible and Acts? And what they did was far less grievous than this. What Ananias and Sapphira did to me is about 1/100th of doing this. Now, granted, I'm not God, but... And what was the fruit of that? Great fear fell upon those that saw it. Many were converted. Many got saved. And then they brought all their witchcraft books, essentially, their books of curious arts and witchcraft, and they burned them. That was the first thing they did. How many people have tons of stuff in their house that are Christians that are grievous to God and are bringing a curse on them that they shouldn't have? I'm just saying, and I'm not acting like I'm Mr. Goody Two Shoes, okay? If you saw the amount of stuff I've burned over the years since I've been a Christian, it would blow your mind. Or destroyed or got rid of. It would blow your mind. So I'm not acting like I'm Mr. Perfect. Okay? It's harder now than ever to navigate all the devices of Satan and not have him get an advantage of you.
So he's saying Matthew 18, if your brother offends you, go to him.
Well, I'm going to give him some verses next, but
what are we talking about? Look, this happened.
No, this demanded an open rebuke. He's wrong, 100% wrong. What he's doing is satanic. What he's doing is defiling all these men and setting the bar even lower for what evidently is acceptable behavior in a Christian church. He's literally trying to get these men more defiled than they already are and into hellfire, which is where he's going. He's a Luciferian. He's trying to get them into hellfire. That's the goal. Okay, I'm gonna break it down flat out. You're not gonna probably hear this commentary from just about anybody else. Knowing what I know about Luciferians embedded in these circles, that's my appraisal. He wants them to burn in hellfire. He has a body count quota that he, as this Luciferian devil posing as a pastor, wants. And that's what it's about.
In front of the entire crowd. Why can't I address what happened in front of the entire crowd? Exactly.
He doesn't want to be called out for his sin. That's why he can't address it. He had his whole little Luciferian satanic charade all set up to, you know. Can you imagine how many spirits are at play here? How many demonic spirits are potentially going in to people there? Just like if you went to a strip club. That's what happens. You go there and you might go in with 2,000 demons. You might come out with, you know, I don't know how many more. That's what happens at those places. I mean, 2,000 is an arbitrary number. I'm just saying that's the goal of Satan, is to get you more demon infested with these types of things. This is no different. This is just done under the guise of Christianity, which really makes it worse. Because at least at a strip club, you know what you're getting into when you walk in the front door.
He's out of line.
Oh, he's out of line. This Pastor Mark Driscoll. No, devil, you're out of line. And you're on your way to hell. And I understand your goal is to get as many into hellfire with you. I understand that. I get that. But this is like Satan giving us a morality lesson. I will hear no rebuke from a devil like this.
If you want to sin, he can say it to me. You may not agree with me. You may not agree with him.
I'm glad there's some people in there booing this guy. I mean, because it shows me that, you know, there's still some backbone. There's still some discernment left in these types of venues. Thank God.
But we are brothers in Christ, and there's a right way to handle this.
Crazy, 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 crazy. Now, if I wanted to go to a Christian men's conference and become the best version of myself, what I don't want to see is a male stripper swallowing swords as an opening act.
Pretty much.
I'd rather not see that.
Pretty much.
But as I close, I want to say this. The days of the church that I would go to back in the day, small town churches, are they coming to an end or do they still exist? Do you still have the, and God said, do you still have that guy? Or do we get male strippers? Do we have the LGBT, the women priests and things of this nature? Right. Like, where are we going with the church in the West?
Right.
Especially the good old US of A. Mm-hmm. I can't really call it, but I think I'll leave that right there for now. And what say you? How do you feel about the male stripper sword swallower performing as an opening act to a Christian men's conference? I don't really understand what's going on. Is that godly? Is that Christ-like? What would Jesus do in that same situation? Whatever your thoughts are.
So we have that. I've got a study I did a long time ago. It's called Biblically Judging and Reproving Reprobates and Heretics. Because what a guy like that would say is, judge not lest ye be judged. Touch not thou God's anointed. You're not God's anointed, devil. You're not. You're a Luciferian posing as a Christian pastor. That's all you are. You need to be called out. You need to be judged of God. Why? That all men would see and fear and declare the work of God, that they would wisely consider of God's doing, and the righteous would be glad in the Lord and trust in him, and all the upright in heart would glory, according to Psalm 64. And many would be saved and God's name be glorified. That's why devils like that need to be judged in the sight of, I mean, like, these men would have been great. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, understanding, knowledge. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. We need the fear of God. We need humility. We don't need these secular programs, these carnal secular programs where we've got male strippers on stage, putting demons into everybody, essentially, or trying to. The fact that we're even having this conversation, you know what I mean? That I even have to report on something like this, it's just insane. Anyway, I give you the link to the Biblically Judging and Reproving Reprobates in Heretics, if you would like to listen. That's from 2011. There's a PDF for it and an audio. I don't have a... I would read you the description, but I think the description is what I already posted there. So now, the Bible verses that relate to this. Ecclesiastes 7, 2 through 6. These are just a very small sampling, okay? It is better to go to the house of mourning. Now, that's not mourning like the sun coming up. It's mourning like you're mourning for somebody, like at a funeral. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men. What does that mean? Well, that means everybody dies, pretty much. I mean, unless, you know... And again, that's preacher, poster, mature type thing. You're alive at the end of the tribulation. Okay. You may not die, you know. You wouldn't die. You'd be resurrected with Christ. Okay, but at the time of the writing of Ecclesiastes, that was the end of all men. Meaning they all died. And the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter. For by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. I used to, like, any type of funeral that I could go to, I would go to it. I haven't had that much opportunity up here because I have kind of a little bit isolated myself up here in North Carolina, just because the ministry is... really a lot for one person. And I can't go out and, you know, do the social thing. I can't really do it. I've got to concentrate, stay in my lane. But I did when I was back in, you know, the Fort Myers area. And you would become wiser. You know, I did. I noticed that, you know. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of myrrh. Myrrh is like, oh, frivolity, and we're going to celebrate, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to have a good time, and we're going to be entertained, which is what this world is really, really set up on. I know there's a degree in the Freemasons, they're called jesters. I remember one time I heard a thing with Bill Schneblin before he turned like rabbi or whatever. And he said, if you've ever met a jester, be afraid, be very afraid. They are like the most debauched, depraved sect of the Freemasons that I am aware of. And I believe their motto is like, myrrh is king. And they have this little devil is there. They're like, that represents the jesters. I've done studies on it. You can key in jesters in the keyword search box at contendingfortruth.com. I've done studies on them. I mean, there's some dark, dark stuff that goes on at those jester Freemason meetings. I believe they're higher than even the Shriners. They're a whole other level. Now, not to say you couldn't be a Shriner, a jester, a 33rd degree Freemason, you know. But yeah, they're a whole other level. But the heart of fools is in the house of myrrh. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is laughter of the fool. This is also vanity. Now, you can be glad and rejoice in the Lord and be happy in that particular way and stuff like that. Hopefully you get the point. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, for the pastor that's quoting Bible verses, you go to your brother. He's not even addressing how unbiblical and how what a damnable heresy he would dare bring into a, quote, Christian men's conference as an opening act. Abstain from all appearance of evil. You violated that one right off the bat there, Mr. Luciferian pastor. Romans 13:14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Now, I can't imagine that being any kind of temptation. I'm sorry, that wouldn't be for me. If I saw some guy up there, I'd be like turning away and saying, what on God's green earth are they doing? But I don't know, evidently the way it goes now, you know, with a lot of the guys out there, I don't know. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying that, you know, there's a lot more of that evidently that goes on. Guys attracted to guys and stuff. That's a deliverance issue. I'm not condemning them. They need to get saved and delivered. I've done many, many, many teachings on deliverance. You can key in that. And I've had gay men who were gay, and I'm talking totally in the lifestyle, that got saved, came out of it, and did hear my teachings. And they're, to this day, going good. So it can be done. There's nothing too hard for God. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God, here's another one. For God is not the author of confusion. You go to something like this and you're, let's say you're reading the Bible and you see this ad for this. Oh, it's a Christian men's conference. Oh, I'm going to go there and I'm going to get on fire for God. And then they open up with a male stripper that most likely performs totally nude. At probably both men's and women's strip clubs. Is that sending maybe some mixed signals? Is that something that you might think might not happen at a Christian venue? Might that confuse some people that were in attendance? Confuse. God is not the author of confusion. He's not. But of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. There's another rebuke to Mr. Luciferian, whoever sanctioned this event. 1 Corinthians 14:40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Was that being done there? No, it sounds like a satanic free-for-all. Male strippers, monster truck, only God knows what else went on there. But just throw all these Bible verses out. It doesn't matter, right? Does to God. James 4:9, be afflicted and mourn and weep. That's what they should have been doing. Look at the world, what's going on, how evil is encroaching, and they want to throw something where they're going to have a male stripper, monster trucks, probably some of the most lukewarm preaching you've ever heard. I reported not too long ago how they're kicking Bible, women pastors kicking the Bibles across stage at that Ohio church. Having wrecking balls like the Miley Cyrus video, wrecking balls with a pastor swinging on it, playing those horrible that horrible music in the background in churches. Gay pastors, trans pastors. I've had so many things over the years where we've talked about this stuff. But because the church hasn't been afflicted and mourned and wept, they haven't repented. This kind of stuff goes on. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. What it should have been is them bringing all these men in and having repentance, prayer, deliverance type thing, getting right with God and praying against all the wickedness encroaching in on the planet and on the church. That's what they should be doing. But no, no. Anything goes. Let's get the body of Christ good and defiled. How many of those guys were actually saved? I don't know. But that's not for me to judge. First Timothy 3:15, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, I understand you can say it was an arena. It was a Christian men's conference. There's a certain way that we should behave. And evidently, the prime example of that is a probably bisexual male stripper, half naked, sword swallowing, dancing on a pole. And yeah, I think he makes a good point about the astral pole. Is that how we ought to behave in the house of God? Were they being afflicted, mourned, and weeping? Was everything done in decency and in order there? Was there any confusion going on? Were they abstaining from all appearance of evil? Could two walk together unless they be agreed? That Bible verse too? I mean, there's probably about 100 other Bible verses I could give you. Anyway, I wanted to at least cover that. Just absolute total insanity is now the norm in the churches. And I'm sorry, I took way too long on that to get through that, but I think there was a lot of important points covered, hopefully. Okay, so the Switching Gears listener, Caroline, sent this to me. And I really felt it tied in with the Aleister Crowley stuff I went into last week. Listener comment, prepping for the false, quote, love of the coming new age. You ever notice that when you research the new age, it's always love and light and namaste and oh, love and oh, and we're so lovey-dovey and all this other garbage. When literally the spirits behind it are trying to get you into hellfire. And there were some things I left out of last week's study with Aleister Crowley that factored into this. This is from a 1971 Coca-Cola commercial. I remember this commercial. I was born in 69. This was in 71. And it's entitled, I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. This is the most nauseating piece of drivel that I think has ever been put into a commercial form. And how Aleister Crowley would love this. So she said, I remember this one real well. I watched tons of TV as a kid. This commercial was on TV constantly. It's so evil, sugar-coated cringe. They're all shaped together like a pyramid or triangle when they zoom out at the end. So I'm going to play this. It's only about, I don't know, it's not even a minute. But if you've never heard this, it shows all these people from different races and ideologies and religious backgrounds, you can tell, and they're all singing about Coca-Cola and us all coming together as one. And so I'm just going to go ahead and play this.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees.
Grow apple trees and honeybees.
So white turtle doves.
Oh, and white turtle doves too.
I'd like to teach the world to sing, sing with me.
Isn't this wonderful? We should all sing along. Oh, it is the real thing. Coca-Cola is the real thing. And if we could only buy the world a Coke, collectively, the world would be obviously a nirvana. Perfect place to live. So it zooms out at the end. They're all in this pyramid shape. What nauseating vomit that is. So my comment was, yes, I remember that too. This is purely sugar-coated Luciferian rhetoric and lies. It is really the exact opposite of what, quote, they want. I did not get into the second tenet of Aleister Crowley's satanic Book of the Law. Aleister Crowley, the 666, the great beast, the one that bragged about, you know, the high sacrifice is a small infant boy, and then defiling them sexually at the earliest possible age to gain more power and to vampirize their innocence. Yeah, that same Aleister Crowley. Okay? I did not get into the second tenet of Aleister Crowley's satanic Book of the Law, my last teaching, but see below as it goes right along with this kind of garbage that we just heard in the Coca-Cola commercial. The religion known as Thelma was established with the writing of the Book of the Law. This year, and then this was the, I think it's like over 120, it's 120 actually now. This year we celebrate the 120th anniversary of the writing of the Book of the Law received by Aleister Crowley, the great beast, the 666, with his wife Rose as the medium, which means she was the one that received evidently the communication as a medium. Crowley claims that the author of the author was an entity, the author of the Book of the Law, named Awas. Again, looked like kind of a large gray bulbous-headed alien, whom he later clearly identified as his own holy, should have been heavenly, guardian angel. Yeah, because he was demon-possessed of the toenails, and it is what guided him, I'm sure. The teachings within this small book are clearly expressed in the Law of Thelma, expressed by two phases. Number one, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. We got into that last week. Okay. And then the second one that I didn't get into is love is the law. Love under will. This is coming from a Satanist that would kill little babies and sexually abuse them and did all manner of sick, sadistic garbage, like eating his own feces, drinking his own urine, you name it, Aleister Crowley did it and bragged about it. And we're going to receive that love is the law, love under will, whatever that garbage means. But it reminds me of this Coca-Cola commercial. Syrupy sweet. Oh, we're all going to come together. Turtle doves and buttercups and pixie sticks and fairies. And I just want to buy the world a Coke and keep it company. It's the real thing. Oh, it's the real thing. What does Coke do in the body? I mean, what does it do? There are 37 grams of added sugar, which equals 10 teaspoons in a single can of Coke. 10 teaspoons of sugar. A 2015 study attributed 184,000 global deaths each year to the consumption of sugary drinks alone. And this is just one of the ways they're trying to kill us off. But it's the real thing, guys. Don't worry. You know? According to this British pharmacist, Knack, who did this big study on Coca-Cola, the intense sweetness of Coca-Cola resulted from its high sugar content should make a person vomit as soon as it enters the body. However, the phosphoric acid in the beverage dulls the sweetness, enabling the person to keep the drink down. So you can tolerate it, evidently. And the phosphoric acid in that form in particular will leach calcium from your bones, which is particularly bad for women, which will set them up for osteoporosis. Blood sugar levels increase dramatically within 20 minutes of drinking cola, causing a burst of insulin, and then the liver turns the high amounts of sugar into fat, which is almost everybody's walking around has a fatty liver, and a gallbladder full of gallstones. When I did dissection of the human body for a year at chiropractic college, I would check all the cadavers whenever I would see them. I would check their gallbladders. Every single one, without exception, were full of gallstones. When I did a gallstone cleanse myself, and I would consider myself at a higher nutritional level, the first time I ever did one, I had already been a doctor for, it was probably like 95, maybe 96. I passed over 100 stones. And that's normal. That is 100% normal. Okay? Most people are walking around with a gallbladder full of gallstones. I did it again, 6 months, I passed about half. I did another one, I passed like maybe half of that. And then I finally did one, and then I passed none. Took me 3 times to pass zero. So much of our health starts in the liver and the gallbladder, because that's the first, the liver has to break down and detoxify almost everything you put into the body. I understand there's other detoxification pathways, kidneys and things of this nature, but the liver is the main one. It's what breaks down all the carcinogenic compounds through what they call phase 1 and phase 2 cytochrome P450 enzyme pathways. And if those pathways are messed up, then you can't break down carcinogenic compounds good enough, which will cause cancer, and then you end up getting cancer somewhere in your body. Or that's one of the causes. Most people are walking around with a totally fatty liver and a gallbladder full of gallstones, which totally compromises your ability to detox, to process fats. I mean, it just starts a whole cascade of bad stuff. That's why one of the things I always recommend is for people, if they want to get started on some kind of health journey, detox your liver and gallbladder for a month. Okay? That's what I do. Choline is one of the greatest things you can do to not only defat the liver, but to also break down gallstones. And not do it in such a way where it's kind of like the dangerous gallstone flushes where you're like drinking the apple juice for 3 days, and I know it's other stuff, and then you do the olive oil the last day. If you have a hard calcium oxalate stone in the gallbladder and you try that, it can theoretically tear its way out, and that'll cause peritonitis, and that can kill you. So you got to be careful with those. I've done those. Those are the ones that I did. But knowing what I know now, I would just stick with choline and do it kind of a little bit slower way. It's better. I really believe it's better because it's more... deeper, it's longer, you're going deep into the liver with that. And I have a whole protocol if you want to email me, I'll send it to you. So this, all these sugary drinks, and this isn't just Coca-Cola, okay? You've got people up here, they drink a lot of stuff called Sun Drop, and you know, the high fructose corn syrup, it's made from GMO modified corn. It's stuff that we should be putting in our body, but again, they're trying to kill us off every way they can. And the amount of people that just drink copious amounts of soft drinks, they're literally just destroying themselves. They're creating a fatty liver, and they're gumming everything up. Which you have to have a healthy liver for healthy hormones too. That's where all the hormones are broken down. The liver's super important. So yeah, Coca-Cola is good stuff, man. It's pretty awesome stuff. And here's 13 ways sugary soda is bad for your health. Sugary drinks do not make you feel full. They're strongly linked to weight gain. Well, obviously they cause an insulin spike, which again, this is a way you become a diabetic as well, because you keep pumping you keep stimulating the pancreas with the insulin, with these sugary drinks. You're removing all the fiber that would normally occur with carbohydrates, and you're just spiking it right into the bloodstream with no fiber present. Your pancreas hypersecretes insulin, and eventually it's like whipping a tired horse. Your pancreas can't keep up anymore. Then you become diabetic. Large amounts of sugar turn into fat in your liver. I'm just giving you the points. I'm not going to go into these. I'm already run away behind. Sugar drastically increases belly fat accumulation, which is one of the greatest predictors of morbidity. Belly fat, your waist, and that's internal and external belly fat Okay. One of the best ways to go after internal belly fat is cold showers or cold plunges. And I know a lot of people aren't going to want to hear that, but I do it every day. I don't do the cold plunge. I just do the ice cold showers. And it's proven to activate, I believe it's the brown fat, or to convert normal fat into brown fat, which is more thermogenic, which is easier to burn. And it has a lot to do with your metabolism. But that's more of an internal fat. That's like the fat on the inside of your abdominal wall, not the outside. Both fats are not good. I mean, a certain amount on the inside protects organs and things of that nature. Okay. So, sugar drastically increases belly fat accumulation. And again, that is one of the greatest predictors of morbidity. The dangerous fat around your belly and organs, also known as visceral fat or belly fat. Excessive belly fat is tied to an increased risk of type 2 diabetes and heart disease. Let's see. Okay. Sugary soda may cause insulin resistance. Yeah. A key feature of metabolic syndrome. Absolutely. Also plaques you up real good. Yeah. It's one of the main reasons people get plaqued up, because of all this fat, free floating fat that gets into the bloodstream and these types of things. It's horrible for arteriosclerosis. Leading cause of the sugary sweetened beverages may be the leading dietary cause of type 2 diabetes. Sugar soda contains no essential nutrients, just sugar. It actually depletes your body is what it really does. Sugar may cause leptin resistance. Leptin is a hormone produced in your body's fat cells. It regulates the number of calories you eat and burn. So from a metabolic standpoint, sugar soda may also be addictive. Oh, another thing. What does it do? Why do we crave it so much? Well, because it is directly going to feed any candida or yeast colonies in the body. That's how people get so addicted to it. Okay. Now there's other forms of carbs, but this is probably the most, if you're going to be addicted to something, you see somebody drinking tons of sugary soda, you don't have to wonder if they're full of candida and yeast. You don't have to wonder that. They are. Because the candida and yeast are dictating what their body wants. And the candida and yeast want to be fed. So not only do they have candida and yeast in their intestinal tract, it's in their bloodstream. You know how I know that? Because I did live blood cell analysis, which I talked about a lot of these doctors that are doing the, I was doing it before they were, back in 93 and 94 at the practice I was working at. Live blood cell, you take a finger prick of their blood, you put it under a slide, dark field microscopy, and you can literally see what the blood is doing. And one of the biggest things I saw in almost every patient I checked back in the day, and this was way back then, 93, 94, was huge flocculations of candida colonies in the bloodstream. Also saw a lot of Rolet formation, not the kind of Rolet formation they're getting today, or I guess they refer to it now as Rouleau. Where you have the stacking of the red blood cells. Back in the day, typically what that meant was they weren't getting enough cardio. They weren't exercising enough, typically. Now, it's a big time byproduct of the kill shot, where you have just the whole blood's just stacked. It's no wonder people are stroking out and having heart attacks and have no endurance and get tired from doing anything because their blood can't flow. Again, natokinase, for that, the enzyme natokinase. These are things I've all previously covered. EDTA chelation to chelate the arteries, things of this nature. I can't go into all that stuff now, but you have to kill the candida colonies. What you want to do is take a good probiotic to repopulate the intestinal tract with good bacteria that do compete with the candida, but it will not kill the candida. For that, you've got to do something to kill it. And there's different ways you can go about that. You can use the Envive Mild Silver Protein. That will kill it. Some people do good with that. Some people do better with a more of a herbal approach. I've got one called ADP. Has a lot of oregano oil in it. That's another way you can go after candida colonies. Candida can be tricky. It's not one size fit all in the way you would approach it. I would say probably the most powerful thing I know of is the Envive mild silver protein. The website is dr-johnson.com. That's if you're my customer, you can order from me directly. But yeah. And if you're a woman and you're doing Envive mild silver protein for Candida, be careful. Start slow. I've seen women in particular do one drop of the 5,000 and it knocks them out. I don't mean like knocks them out like a drug. I mean they have to go to sleep because they're going through such Candida die-off. It's powerful. Yeah, and I have a file on the Candida as well, because it's more, there's more to it on Candida. But Candida is one of the main things, is the driver for that, for why are people crazy? I mean, Taylor just asked me, she says, why can I do, like, if she feels like she's getting sick, she can do five dropperfuls, which is like probably over a teaspoon. And she literally gets energized from the Envive. Some people, you do one drop and they're down for like, and it's typically women. And I don't mean to be like, you know, I'm a misogynistic, has nothing to do with that. They're just more sensitive. They're more prone to Candida and, or maybe the effects of it. But it's in men and women, and it is a gigantic driver for this craving of the sugars constantly. I'm prone to it myself. I'm prone to it myself. So I do the silver to knock down any, you know, Candida loads that may be developing in my body. I probably don't do it enough, to be honest. But And again, there's other ways you can approach it. There's the herbal ADP, I believe, from Biotics is the one I carry, is another way you can approach it. And then you want to do it with a good probiotic, a good refrigerated probiotic as well. Because while that will not kill the Candida, it does compete with it. And once you get it killed, then it can kind of go in there and repopulate with the good bacteria. But very few people talk about that aspect of this whole thing. They're like, well, just stop drinking all the sugary drinks cold turkey. It's not going to work, because you've got to get rid of why they're craving it. Now, there may probably is a demonic component as well in certain cases, and that's a whole other level. That's like deliverance stuff there. Sugary beverages will increase heart disease risk big time on this. It's well established that sugary drinks increase risk factors for heart diseases, including high blood sugar, which also high blood triglycerides. And then it messes all your HDL, LDL, VLDL, messes all that up. Okay. In the bad parameters. Okay. So, which are, you know, they call it good cholesterol, bad cholesterol, that type of stuff. Recent human studies note a strong association between sugar intake and heart disease risk in populations. They cite six different studies here. One 20-year study in 40,000 men found that those who drank just one sugary drink per day had a 20% higher risk of having or dying from a heart attack. One per day. 20% higher risk compared to men who rarely consume sugary drinks. Soda drinkers have a higher risk of cancer. Why? Because cancer feeds off sugar. Yeah, did you know that? Yeah, it does. It's one of the main fuels for cancer is sugar. I have a whole... The first study I ever did in the Baptist Church at the conference up there in Indianapolis was a study called Destroyed for Lack of Knowledge, What Your Doctor's Not Telling You. And that was one of the main things I got into. How they introduced bleached white flour, which has a horrific effect on blood sugar in your pancreas. It destroys what they call the islets of Langerhans in your pancreas, or your beta cells. Bleached white flour, when they introduced that, and they introduced refined sugar into, which then will feed cancer and also spikes blood sugar and also wreaks havoc on the pancreas. That was one of the first things I ever got into. Sugar sweetened beverages intake is linked to cancer recurrence and death in patients of colorectal cancer. Postmenopausal women who drink sugary soda may also have a greater risk of endometriosis. And another sign that you're loaded with candida is for those that drink a lot of alcohol. And again, that's totally unbiblical, but alcohol is one of the main things that will also feed candida. Big time. Big, big, big time. I remember my mentors would always say, that's why when you would go into bars, like the more bars where guys would hang out like during the day, and they'd always have pretzels or some other carbohydrate there that would feed the candida, okay? Some carbohydrate-y thing like pretzels, and then you would also have the alcohol, which also fed them. And again, what drives alcoholism? One of the main factors is candida. Candida drives more of our bad health things that we get into, eating the wrong foods, really, really craving carbs, craving sugar drinks, craving alcohol. Candida is one of the main, if not the main driver. Now, with alcohol, there's also a demonic component as well, but it's one of the main physical drivers for all of that. So it's sugar and acids in the soda are all, especially the phosphoric acids. Remember, I said it leaches calcium from the bones. They also a disaster for dental health. Very bad for your teeth. The phosphoric acid, the carbonic acid, they create a highly acidic environment in your mouth, which makes your teeth vulnerable to decay. So there's another one. Soda drinkers have a drastically increased risk of gout, which is high uric acid, which feels like ground glass in the joints. Fructose is the main carbohydrate known to increase uric acid levels. Ever had a gout attack? It's more prone in men. I've had them. It kind of runs in my family too, but I think people can have more of a predisposition toward it. But yeah, it's very, very painful. Not hard to get rid of. I've got a nice protocol for old gout. It's not that hard to get rid of. Carbamide AC and I believe Argizyme. From Biotics. Anyway, sugar consumption is also linked to an increase of dementia. Dementia is a collective term for decline in brain function. Most common form is Alzheimer's disease. Research has shown that incremental increase in blood sugars strongly associated with an increase of dementia. And they're citing all the studies here. In other words, the higher your blood sugar, the higher risk of dementia or you developing Alzheimer's. It's good stuff. Good stuff. So Taylor asked me a thing about like fruits and things like that. And now some fruits have a higher glycemic index. And but here's the difference with a fruit. A fruit typically, well, obviously is going to have the fiber present. The fiber will help to buffer the blood sugar, okay, and balance that. And that in and of itself is going to temper any spike in blood sugar. And so it will not have the same effect as like drinking a Coke or some sugary sweet beverage, because here's the difference. When you eat a fruit, the fiber is present. The fiber will help balance the blood sugar. It will help buffer that whole process. When you drink a sugary sweet thing, all the fiber has been removed. And even if you drink something like orange juice or these types of things, I'm not saying you can't ever do that, okay? But it's still the carbohydrate totally removed from the plant, okay, in this case an orange, and you're doing that, and it does cause the pancreas to really have to churn out the insulin to be able to deal with that level of being flooded with all those carbs at once, okay? It's obviously, there are some health benefits regarding, you know, fruit juices, but you got to be really careful, because that is also another way you can feed candida. Okay, so I would go sparingly on that type of stuff. Obviously, I'm not an advocate for any type of soft drinks. I just don't really ever, hardly ever do them. So there's just a lot of, you have to read labels. You have to kind of like look at what you're putting in your body, because there's no quicker way to get a ton of calories in the body than drinks. Drinks are the primary way that you can just get flood your body with carbs. And, you know, just absolutely cause your pancreas to go crazy, trying with spiking insulin, trying to deal with all this flood of carbs it's being exposed to. And again, eventually it's like whipping a tired horse, and it can't keep up anymore. I've got a blood sugar, you know, protocol as well that I implement. You know, it's a two-part thing for blood sugar for people that are struggling with that. Got my grandma off injectable insulin and glucophage, and she was in her early 80s. So I know it can be done. Okay. Just, you got to be slow, you got to be deliberate, and you have to be sensible. And I don't ever tell anybody, we're treating the body, and only the guys with the magic prescription pads can do that, the medical doctors or whatever. But you cannot drug your body into good health at the end of the day. You just cannot do it. It's impossible because they're drugs. Drugs mandate things to happen in the body. The way that God designed it is through fruits, vegetables, foods. That should be our primary medicine. Okay, that should be the primary way where we're trying to attain health. And it's harder today than ever because the soils are depleted. Everything's so defiled. You know, even eating organic, there's all kind of, you know, there's still chemtrail in the stuff. You know, what's the state of the soil? Has it been depleted? You know, there's just, it's hard. It's really, really tough living in today's day and age with all the devices of Satan, all the ways they're trying to take us out. And that's kind of why this ministry exists. Of course, I'm sure that there's a lot of stuff that, you know, I'm not even talking about that, but I'm trying to at least get you moving in a better direction where you can take back control of your own health and not be destroyed for lack of knowledge on a spiritual level, on a physical level. I'm just doing what little I can do to try to help my listeners, you know, because I would want it done for me. I know there was the very, very, very long time in my life I was deceived about a lot of this stuff, you know, so I'm just trying to kind of like give back, you know, to my listeners. So, all right, so we have that. So, I just wanted to extol the virtues of Coke, and you know, I like to buy the world a Coke and keep it company. You know what, that wonderful, wonderful song that we just heard. So all right, now I'm gonna go ahead. Oh boy, I am not gonna be able to get this part in. Okay, so I'm gonna have to end this. I'm ending kind of early because the next audio is quite long, and it does factor in a lot to what we're dealing with, where we're moving, what we're facing, the ascended masters coming. It's just more and more and more, just things just keep tying in and tying in to previous studies that I've done, and everything becomes clearer, really, and more cross-confirmatory. So God bless, and we will see you in part 2.